All right, the Buffalo Bills are hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Thursday Night Football, TNF, Amazon Prime, Prime Video. This is going to be, the whole nation's going to be watching this game. NFL Films has been here and at the Bucs facility all week long. They were at one of the local radio stations shooting some video. They were in the locker room. They were at the press conferences. They're shooting some of the open for this game tonight. It's a big game. It's two second place teams. Yes, both are in second place. The Bills are in second place behind the Dolphins in the NFC East. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers all year have been in first place. Not anymore. They are in second place, a half game behind the Falcons in the NFC South. The Buccaneers are 3-3. The Bills are 4-3. The Bills are coming off that loss in New England to the Patriots. They gave up a game-winning touchdown 12 seconds to go. The Buccaneers lost on a field goal in overtime at home to the Falcons. It was not that close. The Falcons were the better team. The Buccaneers have now lost two in a row, both at home. Buccaneers started 2-0. The Bucs have lost three of their last four. As far as the point spread, the Bills are favored by 8.5, over under 42. Started at 7.5, jumped to 8.5. Means that sharp money is on the Bills. Who you got? I'm going to break it down. I've been inside the building at One Buck. I've been there. I've talked to players. I got some information. This is Bucs Kickoff Podcast. I am Rock Riley. We are now at week number 7. This podcast being brought to you today by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, where are they? Very easy to get to. Beautiful showroom, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium, right on Dale Mabry in Tampa. Family-owned business since 1960. Family-owned does make a difference in business. You know it, I know it. GM Sean Sullivan, he's the best. He'll help you personally. All you have to do is just ask. I want to talk to Sean. You got it. Why don't you email him? You can start there. BillCurryFord.com. What I always like to do, I go in person. Stop in at the dealership. Order a new vehicle now at BillCurryFord.com. It is so easy. There's an ordering concierge. And a concierge will assist you. There's no deposit. And GM Sean Sullivan will give you a $500 gift card just for placing the order. And remember, ask for the Joe Buck Fan discount and you'll get it. What I love, every new vehicle comes with a nationwide lifetime warranty. Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, Sean Sullivan. All righty, let's get into it. Let's get into this one, okay? Josh Allen, let's call it like it is. I checked out the tape. I went over it. He was not good. He was not good. The Bills' defense has been hit hard by injuries. Bills' defense, what have you done for me lately? Last week, they allowed Mac Jones and the Patriots' offense. And remember, man, Mac Jones and the offense had been struggling to score 29 points. That was the season high. Yards per play, passing yards per attempt, season high for the New England Patriots. All right, let's go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're going to ride and die by their defense. The Buccaneer defense, +7 turnover margin. That leads the NFL. The Bucs are good on the road this year. 2-0 away. They won by 3 in Minnesota. They won by 17 in New Orleans. But Baker Mayfield, the question. You have it. I have it. The organization has it. Who is he? Is he who we thought he was? Is he now reverting back to who he was prior to becoming a Tampa Bay Buccaneer? The signs are starting to point that way. Last two games for Mayfield, 1 touchdown, 2 picks, both losses. All year, the whole season so far, Mayfield is averaging 227 yards per game. His QBR rating is 14th in the NFL, meaning he is just above that 500 mark when it comes to the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFL. The Buccaneers cannot run, and especially when they get in the... Do you know this? They only have one rushing touchdown all season. We're in week 7. They're 27th in scoring. They're averaging 17 points a game. Now, if you go to the Bucs defense, they're 6th in scoring. The Buccaneers defense has only allowed 17 points per game. Another positive, The Buccaneers defense has generated 13 takeaways this season. I kind of wonder, though, if they rely too much on the takeaways, but they've been good in that regard. The Buccaneers offense, they're not really turning it over a lot. They've turned it over just six times in 6 weeks. The Bucs have a +7 turnover differential. That is second overall in the NFL. So you would think that they would be doing better. It's weird. But I just have, my questions are, number one, what I want to know is, and I'm trying to figure this out, they are too, was the Bucs' hot start a fluke? Oh, nobody's picking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Look at what they're doing. They aren't making mistakes. Defense is playing well. All that jazz. Well, who, you know, was that a fluke? Is this more of what we're going to see the rest of the way out? And also, can we expect the Bucs offense to just get much better? Score touchdowns? Like, all of a sudden? You know, with the play caller that's new? Look, I'll tell you something. Dave Canales is a likable guy. Talking to the players in the locker room, they are still behind him. But he never called plays before. I was shocked when Todd Bowles, after interviewing, what, he had 10, 12 candidates, he picks Canales because of the way he interviewed, the energy, he had answers, he liked it. I get it. Canales is a likable guy. I could see how he'd interview well, but he never has called plays before. At the NFL level, somebody that's doing a job for the first time, do you expect them to beat out guys going against defensive coordinators and defense that have been doing it for years? You know? And I remember at the NFL owners meetings, sitting down with Todd Bowles, Joe was there with me, and I said, Todd, Canales has never called plays in a game. And his response was, everybody has started for the first time. He goes, I started calling plays for the first time years ago. You got to start somewhere. True. But you want to risk your reputation. You're on a hot seat. You got to win. You're going to chance your career now. This is your last shot. You're going to chance it with a guy. He interviewed well. He's got enthusiasm. He's a likable guy. But you're going to give him this opportunity to run the offense. Now, I'll get into this a little bit further. I found out a few things being over there at $1. Okay? But anyway, is it a fluke? Are we going to expect the Bucs offense all of a sudden to be scoring touchdowns and clicking? I'm not confident at all. All right, let's go to the Buffalo Bills. Who are the Bills? The Bills have been favored in every game this year. They lost to the Jets, lost to the Jaguars. They lose to the Patriots, a bad Patriots team, last week. Josh Allen has not been playing like Josh Allen. Right? His coverages last week, not figuring it out quick enough. He's not getting rid of the ball enough. He's not good under pressure. What's going on? And what's going on with the offense? And Josh Allen, this is a quote from Josh Allen. I wish I knew. Our season's not over. It feels pretty bleak right now, but we're going to figure it out. Josh Allen's stats are better than Baker Mayfield's for this year. Josh Allen is tied for the NFL lead in touchdown passes. He's thrown 15. He is tied for second in the NFL in interceptions with 7. So, yeah, he's throwing touchdowns. He's also throwing picks. Stephon Diggs, the big wide receiver. He's your go-to guy. Fourth in the NFL in receiving yards. He's got 6 touchdowns, yet he's pissed off. He didn't speak to the media after the loss to the Pats. Now, you know what? When players are pissed off after a loss and they don't want to talk to the media, you know what? They are human, and that means that they really care, and they're ticked off. I don't have that much. That doesn't bother me that much. I know it bothers a lot of media people. Listen, I played sports, not on a professional level. They're ticked. They're pissed. I don't want to talk. They might say something wrong. I don't have a problem with that. I don't. You know, you saw the video on the sidelines with the playbook, and he got up, and he didn't want to hear from Josh Allen. He's pissed. Does this carry over? You know, that's what I got to see. A lot of wide receivers are divas, and if they don't feel like they're being targeted or getting the ball, they're going to be pissed off. Gabe Davis, your wide receiver too, he has not lived up to his potential or expectations. Rookie tight end Dalton Kincaid, they're going to start using him more now. He's going to be counted on more. He's pretty damn good. Their running back James Cook, he's averaging 60 yards per game. Look, the Bills started out like the Bucs, even better. They crushed, if you remember, they crushed the Dolphins 48-20. The Bills at one point were 3-1. They've now lost 2 of 3. Their only win in that stretch, 14-9 over the Giants. So they've got quite a stretch here where they're not looking that good. The Bills are number 3, though, in the NFL in scoring opposite the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Bills' defense is ranked 5th. They're only allowing 16.5 points per game. So that's the Bills. They're up and down, and they have not been playing that good. Who are the Buccaneers? The Buccaneers can't score. They're 27th in scoring. The Bucs cannot rush. They can't run the football. They're 29th in rushing. The Buccaneers defense, for all the good they've done, for the takeaways, the Buccaneers defense is 27th in passing D. They're allowing 246.7 yards per game. I personally think that they should go back. They should go to more man. They have not been good in zone. And boy, when you're watching from high up in the press box, I'm looking down, you can see everything. Too much over the middle. Receivers are open, wide open stuff. So the defense, I don't think that they're playing as good as they should be playing. This is a veteran bunch. This is a head coach that is a defensive coordinator, and he's known for being a good defensive coordinator. Buccaneer defense should be playing a lot better. All right, let me get to my segment where you only get it here. It's called Under the Rock because I go to the facility and I also talk to people that are there, okay? And I see and I observe what I have seen. Let me just start off with the game. This was a quick turnaround, so it was different this week. Everything was different and thrown off. And they had to travel. Okay? We go in the locker room after hearing from Bowles, hearing from Baker Mayfield, and I had never seen that before. There must have been 9-10 stationary bikes set up in the middle of the locker room, and I saw Vita Vea on there. I saw Tristan Wirfs on there. Everyone was taken. They're pedaling furiously. I'm like, I've never seen that before after a game. They also had these big mats that were plugged in down, and it's like, and it stimulates like the muscles, the blood flow, try to get that blood flow out, the soreness, the lactic acid, trying to do that. Now, I didn't know that they normally do that on Monday. I was on Bucks sideline guy, TJ Reeves's podcast on the next day, and he was telling me, you're right, you never see that after a game. They normally do that on Monday. So, like I said, everything is sped up. It's hard with the human body. But look, the Buffalo Bills are going through it too. But the Buffalo Bills don't have to travel. In the locker room after the game, of course it's down. Of course they're going to be down. It wasn't the sense that I got going around locker to locker and talking to some of the guys, it wasn't like a shell shock effect. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but they took the loss hard, but it was almost like, you know, I don't know. I keep that in the back of your mind, okay? No, they're pissed, but they knew that they didn't play well, and they knew that the Falcons played better, and they knew it was an NFC South game. Now, we hit Dave Canales. Dave Canales, this is at the game, or after the game. He admitted, this is on Tuesday, he admitted that he is still learning. He admits it. He goes, I'm still learning. There's a lot of calls I wish I had back. I wish I had done better. Again, I'm still learning. Like I told you, this is what Todd Bowles chose. You chose a guy that has never called plays at any level, let alone the NFL level. So this is what you're going to get. He also did, too, a couple of times, if you read between the lines, he admitted, like, I really do want to get that running game going, because he had been given excuses and hasn't been that bad and it still helps out anyway and this and that. Okay, so that's Kanellis. Here's the thing. I actually have had two conversations with Kanellis pre-game at the stadium, just bullshitting, just totally different stuff. If you see me out, I'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you here on this. Like I say, he's a likable guy. He wants to learn. He may one day be a good one. But you're getting the growing pains. You're seeing it. And when the question came up, and I was going to ask it, I think it was Greg Allman. I think, yeah, he beat me to it. You know, and I was tipped off by this by somebody. These defensive coordinators, they now have tape on the Buccaneers. They have tape on the offense, and they have tape on knowing what Kanellis might go with. And is that now a factor? And Kanellis kind of said, yes. Yes, that is. But 2 weeks ago, he told us that he's given a wide variety of plays to all of his offensive players, and you still haven't seen a lot yet, because when they get into the postseason, they believe they're going to be in the postseason, then defensive coordinators won't say, oh, we saw that play. So what is it? You're saying you got a lot of different plays. You haven't used them all yet in a game, yet here you are. You're dead. You're one of the worst rushing teams, and you're one of the worst in the red zone. You can't score touchdowns. I also have been told, and I've observed this, so far Bowles has not stepped in and taken over the offense or said, I want this. He has told Kanellis, you're an offensive coordinator. I'm not. I'm a D guy. You know offense. Just score us touchdowns. However you call the plays, between run, pass, deep shots, outs, all that, best way to score is touchdowns. That's it. I'm leaving you with that. And he has. He has so far. Again, it's all going to come down to the head coach. So what, is he going to step in? So far, he's letting Kanellis call the shots. That's what I have learned. Okay? We also found out that Baker Mayfield, when he talked to us this week, that he's the one that told us that Antoine Winfield, when they came in that locker room at Raymond James Stadium after the loss, Antoine Winfield said, everybody listen up. I got something to say. And he stood up in front of the whole team. And he basically told them, how great do you want to be? How great do you want to be? It's up to you. It's up to us. I asked Shaq Barrett. I talked to Shaq Barrett in the locker room. And I said, you know, how much of it is this, the coaching staff and the players? And he stopped me. He's like, no, it's all us. The coaches are putting us in the, now this is on defense. The coaches are putting us in the right spot. It's us. It's the players. So Tristan Wirfs said we needed to, no, Shaq Barrett said we needed to hear that. Wirfs even admitted that Antoine Winfield is not a rah-rah guy. Antoine Winfield is playing, he is balling out. Antoine Winfield's going to get himself a long-term contract. The Bucs, they believe that he's going to be dominant for a while. So he's going to get his, and he is your leader. He's the guy. He can talk the talk because he's walking the walk. And so now let's see. Just like the same thing. Oh, you practice well. Oh, you practice good. Practice good. Bowles after the game. What did he say? It's not how you practice. Well, you can practice good. If you don't bring it over to the game, it doesn't do any good. So this speech by Winfield and telling all the players, it's on us. How great do you want to be? Then start playing great. All right, let's see. We'll see. We'll see if it's how that's going to go in this game. All right. I'm going to go very quickly, go back just a little bit. I know it's hard with the Bucs, and maybe you didn't see the Patriots-Bills game. Bucks Falcons, Desmond Ridder had three fumbles deep in Buccaneers territory. Falcons had a lot of costly penalties. Buccaneers, penalties, penalties, penalties. It was a sloppy game. I agree with Sage. Sage, I do not agree with you when you said it's the only Bucks podcast that matters. I think this one matters too, Sage. But you got a good one. Yes. But I agree with Sage. He said it was one of the worst as far as entertainment that he has seen top five in Sage's entire career covering the NFL. How long is that? 100 years? I agree with you, Sage. Sage was walking around at times. He couldn't take it. It was bad. But the penalties, it was sloppy and blah, 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 blah. All right, fourth quarter. Bucks are driving. Baker Mayfield throws the pick. He wanted that one back. That was costly. Buccaneers rushing. Now, it looks better on paper. 20 attempts, 73 yards. Your leading rusher is Baker Mayfield. Take away that long run. They rush for like 40 yards. And Mayfield's, I do want to say, the positive, that pass to Mike Evans was a thing of beauty. You could see it from high up top. Boom. He let that thing fly. When he let that thing fly 40 in the air, Evans was beautiful. That's how you do in the NFL. Evans wasn't even looking yet, running. That timing was perfect. He hit him perfectly in stride. Evans needed the big touchdown, the long one. So did Mayfield. That's good. Why can't you have more of that? You should be able to have more of that. That was a positive. Okay? Let's go over to the Patriots Bills. Patriots 29-25. They're 2-5. It was at Gillette. Mac Jones, 1:58 to go. 8-play, 75-yard drive. He hits his tight end, Mike Gesicki. 1-yard touchdown, 12 seconds left. Mac Jones in the fourth quarter. Okay, Bills D. Mac Jones, fourth quarter, 11 for 13, 127, 2 touchdowns. How about this stat? And I'm not a big stat guy, but I got to hit you with this. Mac Jones was 83% completion rate, third highest in Patriots franchise history. With all those years, 20 years of the GOAT, third highest in franchise history. Is Mac Jones, was he just that good that day? Or was it the Bills' defense? So that's what we had last week. I believe, going back to the Buccaneers, it is a combo effect. Football is offense, defense, and special teams. It really is. It all works. I mentioned this on Bucks, the TJ, the Buccaneers official podcast over there. It's like when you build a home. If you don't have a good foundation, if you got a crack in the foundation, see, down here in Florida, we don't have basements. So you better have a good basement if you're up north or wherever you are. But we don't, you got to have a good foundation. You can have the finest chandeliers. You can have the best fixtures. You can have the best backsplash. You can have all this stuff. But if your foundation is no good and it starts up front and the Buccaneers offensive line is not that good, you know, Wirfs is balling out and Gadecki is doing a nice job at right tackle, his natural position, better than I thought he would. But the interior is not good and you can't expect it to get much better. And so it starts up front. And the Buccaneer defense of the front hasn't been that good either. And so it's a combo effect. The offense cannot score. The defense knows that. And so that's going to affect the defense. And the Buccaneers are one-dimensional. They are. Now, the Buccaneers defense allowed the Falcons to go 7 for 13 last Sunday. The Buccaneers defense, I don't understand this. What's going down on third down? The Buccaneers defense is dead last in the NFL on third down. They're allowing opponents to convert 50% on third down to first downs. Last year, they were sixth, only allowing 37% conversion. In Bowles' 5 years with the Buccaneers, they were no worse than 14th in the NFL. Now they're dead last. And to me, like, go more man-to-man. You're not playing good when you're in coverage. And to me, Ryan Neal, time for you to ride the pine. Time to bring in Dee Delaney. That is honestly, that's honestly how I'm seeing it. All right, a couple of other things here. The injury situation. So Baker Mayfield told us, I didn't even know this. He is a tough SOB. He is. You see the burn on his arm after the game, man. He's got scabs. The one day he couldn't even hold his left arm, his shoulder. And he had told us he had a knee. He was on the injury, a knee. He re-aggravated it from the Saints game. But I honestly, I don't think that's going to affect him. And I like what one of the Joes always says. If you're cleared to play, no excuses. So Vita Vea has had a foot injury. Now he's got a groin. Or as they said on Joe Bucks Fan, this is great this week, going back to the years of Greg Schiano. Who was that one player? Well, what's his injury? He's got a groin. Oh, I'm glad he's got a groin. Actually, I don't care whether or not Vita Vea has a groin or not. He's got a groin injury. But Bowles, before they left for Buffalo, said he's going to be a game-time decision. They need him. Matt, okay, we got to change to the offensive line. And you know who spilled the beans? Tristan Wirfs. He told us in the locker room. We already knew this. So left guard Matt Filer out. Aaron Stinney in. Good. Good. It's the only time this year. Normally, yes, yes, you want the cohesiveness of the offensive line. It's been the same guys. They really haven't been that good. Come on now. And they certainly haven't been good run blocking. They're better at pass blocking. And Aaron Stinney. Aaron Stinney's a veteran. So we're over talking to Tristan Wirfs. And the question came up about the cohesiveness of the offensive line. And Wirfs goes, well, that's going to change this week with Filer. And we're like, oh. And then sure enough, it was confirmed by Bowles. Filer's out. Stinney is in. Good news is Buccaneers are getting the veteran running back Chase Edmonds back. He was out there with special teams when they went to the indoor facility, so we kind of knew. They made it official. He's activated. He's probably going to go RB2 behind Rashad White. You know what? Let me see. They got him for a reason. It's not like he's that old. He's ready to go. Like Joe says, he's off the injury report. He's ready to go. Let me see what you got, Chase Edmonds. Give us a little, and you're going to get a lot. You're going to get a lot more because White ain't getting it done. Bills, they're banged up. Two of their three tight ends didn't even practice at all on Tuesday. Three of the defensive linemen are limited. Now, Von Miller, their defensive end, yes, he is good, but remember, he only had six snaps last week. He's coming off the torn ACL. He's still getting into NFL football game shape. Also, defensive tackle Ed Oliver. Oh, this is going to help if he's really banged up. Their head coach McDermott said going to be close. He does have four sacks. He is good against the run. He's a damn good player. And he also is strong. He's not that tall, but he's strong. And he's probably going to go up against Cody Mauch. Cody Mauch, look, Ali Marpet was not lights out as a rookie. Cody Mauch could be good, real good down the road, maybe. But right now, he needs to put on a little more size. He had not played against big-time competition in college. He's a rookie. All that's thrown in. And he's doing as much as he can do. And if you look at games, he's getting bull rushed. He's getting beat with power. And you can't teach anything to try to combat that. That's only going to come with time. It is what it is. It is what it is. All right, we all know the situation with the Bucs. We're following them. Let's look a little bit more into the Buffalo Bills. What are we seeing in this game? What are we seeing in this Thursday night game up here in Buffalo? Who are the Bills? Now, Josh Allen, and I really studied this tape, he did not look good last week against the Patriots. He did not. Now, I know he's not having a lot of help around him. I know the play calling could get better. I get all that. But honestly, Josh Allen did not play good. He was under pressure 41% of the time. That's not good. He's not like Mayfield. He's not able to really come through or hasn't been under pressure, unlike Mayfield. Mayfield's actually better under pressure. But anyway, I'm talking about Allen right now. He's made bad decisions. He did. He was not recognizing coverage quickly enough. He was not getting rid of the ball quick enough. Look at the time that it was taking him to get rid of the ball. Mac Jones got rid of it much quicker. It's the Buccaneers, or I mean the Bills D-line, decent, but the Bills D is ranked at the bottom in rushing defense. So if there is ever a game, if the Buccaneers are going to start rushing the football, it's got to be this game. If you can't rush against this Bills defense, you ain't going to be rushing it. The Bucs' number one issue, again, can't run the football. And you can't be one-dimensional. I know I got a lot of play on the quote that I used from Baker Mayfield. We are now learning that we are not a run first team. Duh. But you got to be able to run it a little bit, because then that hurts you in the passing game even more. They're going to stack the box. They're going to bring pressure. They know you can't run it. And you can't win in the NFL just passing it all the time. I know there was a couple of questions brought up this week. You know, why don't you just pass it? I know Lee from Joe Buck's fan, he yells it out constantly. He's yelling it at the press box. I know you. Just use your two best guys, Evans and Godwin. But here's the thing. If the defense is just know that, you might get triple coverage on that. You're going to start getting double coverage on that. You got to be able to run it, and they can't. Buccaneers are running a lot of play action. Did you know this? On stats-wise, 30%, 29.4. Do you know that the Bucs using play action, it is the highest in all the NFL, and yet it is the lowest in success rate for using play action. So they're running it a ton, and it ain't working. Their screens are not working. The Bucs are 10th in the NFL on third down conversion. Now, a lot of this is earlier in the season. You know, Joe Maddon, the baseball manager, told me, I'm not against analytics. Show me what a player has done the last couple of weeks. Not all season. A long season's long. Football, same thing. Buccaneers were very good on third down. So that could be skewed. What have you done for me lately? Red zone offense, this has been all season long. Buccaneers are 28th in the NFL when they get to the red zone. There used to be an offensive coordinator for the Bucs named Les Steckel. You old timers remember him? He used to call it the green zone. I go, Coach, why are you calling it the green zone? That's the money zone. That's where you get paid. You score when you're in the green zone. Green zone, red zone, 20 yards in, the Bucs suck. And they have all season long. So, Matt Filer out. Aaron Stinney in, Cody Mauch, you better hope that Ed Oliver's hurting, and Gadecki is holding his own, okay. The Bills offense is struggling. Going into this last game last Sunday against the Patriots, the Bills had only scored 7 points in the first quarter, or the last two games combined. I thought I was reading my note wrong here. The Bills have only scored 7 points in the first three quarters in the last two games combined. Oh, my God. Josh Allen, first offensive play of the game last week. A pick, picked off easily by Jabril Peppers of the Patriots. You know, if you go back in recent years for Josh Allen, he's tore up the Patriots. Seriously. 7 games, Josh Allen, against New England, 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Rest of the game, Bills score only 3 points in the first half, 10 in the first three quarters in that loss last week. The Bills have been outscored 24-0 in the first quarter of the last three games. They're not playing well early in the game. The Bills have been good on first down, which is strange, but they're not good on second down for some reason, which lately has been putting them in third and long. So, you know what? Honestly, going into this game here, recently, like these two teams, they're pretty damn even, if you want to call it like it is. Right now, this isn't the Bills of the past here. And the Bills being favored in every game. And the Bills. Bills have been struggling. Bills have been struggling on offense. Buccaneers have been struggling on offense. Baker Mayfield now is not playing well. I usually do like a matchups. And you know what, man? To pinpoint bottom line, offensive line, you got to start blocking a little bit better. You know, Baker Mayfield said, he told us this week, I love road games. Quote, just your team and everybody else. fans included. I believed that. Now, I was driving there and thinking, what can I ask? What am I going to ask Mayfield this week? He's going to get a lot of X's and O's. We all know that, you know. I want to see what kind of mental state he's in. And I asked him, with your ups and downs and your that you've had in your career, where you are now, this is the first time you had a little bit of adversity. The two losses, you haven't been playing that well lately now. Has what you've gone through in the past actually helped you and your mindset now going into this game? He said, absolutely. Absolutely. I did see in that locker room, I know Joe wrote it for Joe Bucks fan. There were players going up to Baker Mayfield after the loss. He took his time. This happens a lot with quarterbacks. You know, everybody's waiting for the quarterback. They bring the quarterback. They don't have him at his locker. They bring him out into the interview room. And I've seen it a lot. After losses, a quarterback's going to take his time. You just got beaten down. It's your career. It's your contract. It's your money. It's everything. It's your teammates. And they all have his back. Like, they're all supporting him. You know, there's nobody yet still that's calling for Trask. I honestly don't know how much Trask can do. Can Trask do any better? Because Baker Mayfield's doing good, his numbers, under pressure. So there's that. If I see anything, I sense anything, I'm going to tell you here on Bucks Kickoff Podcast. But the team, his teammates still have him, have his back. The coaches still think he gives them the best chance right now. But again, who is Baker Mayfield? Is he the guy that's on his fourth team bouncing around here? You know? So there is that. One matchup to look for, Stephon Diggs. They do move him around a lot. I believe in this game it's going to be Carlton Davis. Carlton Davis, you better step the hell up because Diggs is a good one. And if you guys keep talking like you're one of the best defenses around, You better have a good game. Weather's not going to be a factor in this one. Well, what did Bull say after the game? It doesn't matter if it's zero. No, it does matter. If you're coming from Florida and all of a sudden it's zero, that does matter. But that's not going to be a factor. It's not cold yet in Buffalo. The Buccaneers seem to do very well with the silent count and the hand signals. That they've done well. They did that very well beginning of the season, playing up in Minnesota. Playing in New Orleans, hostile environment. They didn't have as many penalties. What the hell? And that was in the beginning of the year with the new offense, right? So, all right, let's go a little lighter here. I have some fun kind of facts for you. Now, the Thursday Night Football crew, you're all going to be watching this bad boy, okay? Al Michaels, Lee thinks he's slipping because he's not into it. Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit. I don't know about you. Look, Herbstreit does a fine job. I think of Herbstreit as a college guy. Stay with that. Stay with that. You see him on College Game Day, big smile, he loves it. You see him with Fowler, loves it. Give me somebody different doing NFL. But you know what? He does a fine job. So that's going to be your broadcast team. Do you know, and this was brought up, so NFL Films, I was talking to their field producer. NFL Films was here in Tampa Bay all week. And they have this crew. Shows you how much money they have. They're here all week. And all they're shooting is like the open for this game. And the producer, when it was Baker Mayfield up at the podium, and he said, oh, one more question. He wanted to get it in. He says, what about going up against Josh Allen? You guys were in the same draft class and this and that. And you know, what do you think? And Mayfield's like, oh, I'm a big fan of Josh Allen. Check this out. So the 2018 NFL draft, we're 2023 now, okay? 2018, Baker Mayfield went number one with QBs. Baker Mayfield went number one, Browns. Sam Darnold went number three overall, Jets. Josh Allen went number seven overall to the Bills. And number 10 was Josh Chosen Rosen with the Cardinals. Obviously, out of Baker Mayfield, Darnold, Allen, and Rosen, Josh Allen has done the best. He's the only one that's with the same team. He's 56-27 regular season. Bills have made the playoffs 4 years in a row. But here's a stat that I had forgotten about. The Bills got to number 7 to take Josh Allen thanks to a trade with your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who ended up getting Vita Vea at number 12. How about that? So look, as I say at the end of all of these Bucks kickoff podcasts, on the best, baddest, best website in the world when it comes to Buccaneer news and information, joebucksfan.com. Enjoy every snap. The season, we're already now week number stinking 7. Let's enjoy it. I'm not getting into the trade deadline and all that. I know what Joe wants. Running back. Very entertaining, these posts. But it's joebucksfan.com. Honored to be at the number one spot. And enjoy. I'm going to enjoy it. I am going to enjoy it. Enjoy this game. I'll be back patrolling one buck for you, as I always do. So far, overall, so far, in that locker room, in that building, so far, the mood is okay. We'll see what happens this week. I'll talk to you next week on Bucks Kickoff Podcast on the biggest, baddest website in the world, joebucksfan.com.